drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man. Detroit Kool-Aid, Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers. What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Eric Oakley, right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast. And I am coming to you after the trade deadline. There's so much to talk about. Lots of Lions content. We're going to get into everything. Can't wait to talk about it. And I got a guy on the other end of the line that wants to talk about it. He has his own sound drops. You guys can find him on Twitter. He's at Chops in the D. Chops, you're back. Let's get into this. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, Oakley, you know, I had to crash the Detroit Kool-Aid cast tonight. And because, you know, after I heard last week's pod and, you know, I may have misheard, but I'm pretty sure that I heard you predict the Lions would not win. You predicted a Miami win. Well, though it happened, where's the Kool-Aid, man? Come on.
I got a little bit here today.
Drink it in, man.
I just baked up some cornbread as well.
Cornbread!
Making a double.
Cornbread!
Hey, man, like, I've been trying to have fun on the show. Fans are frustrated. People are checking out. People are quitting on their team. But, Choppy, we have a big trade to talk about. We want to get into that. Before you know it, I'm sure we'll be yelling at each other about Jared Goff in some sense or another. We'll do a quick Miami review, just a couple things we saw that either got us heated or that we liked. I'm going to shout out a few people because people I put out on the Kool-Aid hotline. How you guys feeling? What are you thinking about this team? I got some interesting texts and takes back. And then we'll give the people a little quick look at this Packer game with our preview as well. But we got to spend time, Choppy, on this trade of T.J. I might not be able to do that much anymore, man. But they moved him for a 2 and a 3 to Minnesota. They gave up a 4th and a conditional 4th. Me and you have been bantering about this. The people have been all over the Twitter sphere. Gosh, I mean, what are your initial thoughts? Where are you at with this whole thing?
Well, I mean, look, you know, everywhere on Twitter, that's all that people are talking about. It's Hawks traded, you know, it's to a division rival. You know, we didn't, you know, why are we doing this? He's still young. He, you know, he's a cornerstone. He's da 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 da. I mean, listen, my bottom line is he was not going to be on the team. We weren't going to pay him his $15, $16 million after next year. So this was the last year we were really going to get to trade him on a cheap deal. So do it. And Brad, always open for business, Holmes pulls the trigger. Yes, it's to Minnesota. Whoop-dee-doo. I don't care. And he gets two picks out of it. So, you know, I think it's a great, great move.
Choppy, like, here's the thing. Like, I feel like some people think that our takes are forever just etched in stone on everything. Like, I come on here and I'm honest, man. When they took T.J. Hawkins, like, I liked the pick. I thought he was going to be nasty in the run game. At that point, we were empty at that position. We thought it was a need. It was a good player. He was from all these things seem to match up. But I've watched the guy for 3-4 years now, and he has not lived up to be that field stretching, touchdown scoring, pancake blocking, tight end that you need to be if we're going to not only have you here but end up paying you big dollars. So my whole opinion going out there was they used up his rookie deal. He hasn't lived up. You weren't going to pay him. So you recycled him, which means you collected two what I think are very valuable selections. You know, you had a little bit of beef of, oh, you know, I don't like these fourths we gave up. If I told you we moved up 2 rounds and saved $10 million on the cap and maybe connect on that second and third round pick in the next 2 years, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't worry about who we might have missed out in the four type of thing. So I think this is great for the Lions' future. I also think Mr. Hockenson might go to Minnesota and be a pretty good player. Good. I said good, not great. So it's going to work out, but he's not going to come back to kill us. Oh, he's going to have a big game against the Lions. Who cares? I mean, this isn't a big defensive stud or quarterback that we dealt. This is a tight end. Like, I think the team's going to be fine. I think Hawk will go on to have a decent to good career, and all is well. I mean, I like this for the future, no question.
Yeah, my only retort, you know, going back to what you said about, you know, the giving up the fourth rounds with him, my biggest thing is we need assets, right? So the more shots in the barrel we have with draft picks, the better. So I wish we could have found a way to, you know, get a second out of them, maybe not return to fourth, you know, or at least maybe get rid of that one conditional pick so we could at least have an additional pick. I mean, our net of picks is the same now. But again, $10 million cap space saved. And I guess, you know, the other thing is I trust Brad Holmes to get the best deal, right? So how many other tight ends were dealt at the deadline? Cue the crickets. Yes, none. So exactly. There wasn't a huge clamoring for tight ends, you know, but he made it happen, right? He saw an opportunity, he made a deal, and he got, I'm sure he got the best that he could do. I mean, it wasn't like he was in a rush. He didn't do it 2 weeks early. And it's not like we saw a bunch of other tight ends going for better returns. So he got what he could. And like I said, I trust Brad Holmes.
I totally agree there. And I also think that I think my range was a 3 and a 5 a couple of days ago that I tweeted out. So when I even hear the words 2 and 3, that's not like great value. Like, do you see what people go for in the NFL? Good players. Kareem Hunt, they wanted a fourth and couldn't get a fourth for him. Like, we got a 2 and a 3, and here's how the pick swaps works, Chobby. I'm looking at the Oakley draft board. Would you rather have another player in the top 65, or do you want a couple players in the 140s? Like, come on, man. That's a huge dip in talent. Yeah, you can find people in the fourth, fifth, but I like our chances a lot better in the second. And again, I love the Kool-Aid drinkers. I love the people.
And the people consists of the millions.
I gave you a double there. The millions. Don't tell me. But okay, we never get good players in the second round. Come on, man. We've had a lot more misses than most. Brad Holmes has had his misses, but I still like my chances in the top 65. And the other thing I want to hit on, did you feel like Hawk loved it here? Did you feel like he's going to be chomping at the bit to give the Lions a discount? That he wanted to stay here? Or did he want to be down in Nashville all his life? Did he want to be out there partying it up, growing his hair out like a hippie? This guy proved that he'd make some plays sometimes. He moved the sticks. He'd usually catch the ball and fall down. But he's just not a player that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell were like, this is a foundational piece. This is a centerpiece. This is a guy that loves it here. This is a guy that's going to help us win ball games, division championships, and more. He just wasn't that at the end of the day. Like, I think it's as simple as that. You got the good value, like you said. You moved the player along. You get the money back. Now you got to nail the picks. If you do that, everybody's going to be happy in Detroit.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing, Oakley. Like, you're right. He's gonna garner superstar top five tight end money, and a couple things with that. So one, I saw something out there that was like Brandon Prettigrew in its first 4 years with Detroit, right. And it laid out his stats: tight ends or TDs and yards, receptions, and then it was like T.J. Hockenson first 4 years in Detroit, and they were like almost the same.
Right,
Brandon Buttersticks Prettigrew and T.J. Hock. Almost right. Have the exact same stats in their first 4 years in Detroit. So, I mean, that tells me something right there. I mean, people absolutely lost their minds when we drafted Prettigrew. And, I mean, you look at the bottom line, you know I'm a big stat guy. Look at it. Like, he did the same thing as T.J. Hockenson. And now T.J. Hock has this, like, hype, like he's going to get paid a top three, top five tight end. So, yeah, it was time to move on. Tell me this, Oakley. Is there anything that T.J. Hockenson does so well – that Brock Wright or Mitchell can't do now?
No, and the point when I wanted to take him was a dynamic tight end that stretches the field, moves chains, scores touchdowns is valuable. But he, for 3 years, didn't feel like he got there. So it's like if you get a brand new car, you love it early, and then if it doesn't do much for you 3-4 years down the road, you're looking to trade it in or get something different. And we traded it in.
Yeah, hey, Oakley, what do you do with that car when the tires keep falling off too, by the way? It's not like he was healthy a whole lot either.
Right, yeah, like they said this car was good, and now it's not as good as I thought, so I need something different. Like he doesn't do anything ultra dynamic, and like – you know, I know people liked him. I know he you know, hard work. We had high hopes. But if he would have done this after year one or two, oh, man, what could he have been? Like, we not only know what he can be, but if he goes to the Bucks or a Minnesota or a team that's, like, on the cusp, it's a much better situation than making him the 1A in your offense here. So, Choppy, I know the people wanted our take. We could spend another 10-20 minutes talking about Mr. Hockenson. Like, I have no ill will towards the guy. I will say that when they took him, you know, at 8 there and to where he is now, my views are different. But I also would be really upset right now if we got like a 5th for him or, you know, if we, you know, had already paid him, you know, more money than we actually have. We really are getting out at the right time. He got good value. The team can move forward. Like, I think Brad Holmes is going to get us either like a big defensive end, a corner, another skill player that's going to help us with those two and second and third round picks. And everyone's going to be looking back extra happy because the resources are going to a better spot than a tight end that's not a unicorn like Pitts or Kelsey or whoever. You know what I mean? I just think it's smart football by your boy. Always open for business. Or Big Bad Brad, as I call him.
Hang on a second. Let me clear this rolling.
but Oakley, he went to tight end university with Kelsey and those guys.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Like, again, I don't have any ill will towards the guy. But again, he doesn't do anything super dynamic that any of our other tight ends can't do. So, you know, I don't really honestly see a huge drop off in our tight end production position between the two guys that are on the roster. So, you know, like I said, you know, I didn't like the pick when they made it, but, you know, he showed some potential, had some health issues, never really produced like everybody hyped him up to produce. And I think we made the right call here. So, Choppy, you know, like I said, the Twitterverse needs to chill out a little bit.
Choppy, can I end this segment with a certain hashtag for B3, our guy, our GM of the Detroit Lions?
Oh, a B3. No, you can end it with a Brad always open for business. Hashtag Choppy Likey.
Woo! Hashtag Choppy Likey.
And I'll even do your soundbite for my opinion. I loved it when I saw this come through. All right, we went long, but that's what the people want to hear about. That's what they're excited about. So let's do this real quick. I want to give a couple quick bullets on the Miami review. So this is my thing, Choppy. In this ball game, we started out well. We were putting up points, moving the ball. We had a big lead, but we can't finish. I don't understand. Before, we couldn't start well and then we'd finish strong. Now we start good, but we can't close. Like, this is the opposite of what was struggling, what was killing us before is killing us now. This is so frustrating. Choppy, the defense, man, we can't cover a coffee table. I think I heard somebody say that one time. Like, this is ridiculous. The worst defense. I thought Matt Patricia couldn't get worse. It's somehow worse right now. This is ridiculous. Your boy, Josh Reynolds, a.k.a. the Serpent, like, had a ball go right through his hands that would have put another touchdown up for your boy, Jared Goff, before the half. He's got the Crisco mitts on, the Nike Criscos, right through his hands. Drops it. We get three drives in the second half. Three offensive drives. Why? Because our defense can't stop a nosebleed. We can't get off the field even when it's 3rd and 15 plus. And then, of course, number 16 needs to make a better throw. 4th and 2, and you just air it out, only like you're supposed to be throwing towards the side pylon, and you throw it almost in the middle of the football field, make our guy turn 8 ways, try to catch the ball. That's on your guy, your quarterback. Gosh, that was a frustrating ball game. Another win you should have had, you didn't get. Now I'm done.
Yeah, Okri, look, I mean, here's the thing. Let me preface this by saying, except for that one game that we don't want to speak about, every game, some portion of our team has shown us that they can play, right? Whether it's we start strong or we finish strong or the defense plays well or the offense continues to play well. We have not seen a complete game from this team yet. And I think they have it in them, right? So if we were just getting, it's not like we're getting blown out every game, right? Yes, we did get, we went whatever it was, 8 quarters without scoring a touchdown, whatever. Like, yes, we had a bad stretch. Okay. The offense went a little cold, but we had the game where the defense balled out. We have had now games where we've started strong. We've had games where we started slow and we finished strong. Like, we just need to get this team to put together a complete game. So against Miami, right, we come out. We're slicing. We're dicing. We're down the field. We're using our weapons. Jared Goff is commanding the field. Like, guys are getting open. I mean, JG16 dropped a couple dimes. We had some good catches, big runs. Oh, the team was rolling. And then we hit halftime, and it was like, did we just forget how to play? Like, I don't understand. You know, let's talk about the defense, right? They come out. We are going to be physical against these corners. We've got to be jam them up with the speed. That did not happen one time. I rewatched this game 3 times. I saw no contact at the line of scrimmage on those wide receivers. You let Waddle and Hill run all day, all over us. But again, I'm still optimistic, Oak. I'm still drinking the Kool-Aid because we're doing good things. We're just not putting it all together to complete a game.
Yeah, Chavi, where's this passion? I'm over here yelling. I'm over here frustrated. I'm over here upset. And you're just like going through this, like, oh, throwing some dye, doing some good things. I'm always going to be for my team, but this, everyone is upset right now with what they're seeing. Like, do you watch any other NFL games and see people just running free for 4 quarters? Like, we don't even have people in the screen when people are catching balls on 3rd and 15 on us for first down. This is ridiculous. But I don't want to spend any more time on this Miami game. I want to spend time on this. And that's the fact that you came after me on Twitter talking about, oh, Oakley's got a lot of bad things to say about my quarterback, this, that, and the other. Chops, I'm done with Jared Goff. I don't care if he can hit people wide open at 6 yards a crack. I don't care if his stats look good. I need Bryce Young at quarterback. And that's what the Detroit Lions know as well. Because with this trade of Hockenson, with where this team is at, with the future schedule, even if they win a few more games, that's the target. That's the player. That's the guy that has the chemistry with J-Mo. They know what I know that you don't know yet. And that's, you need a new leader, a new young cat, a guy that can move his feet, a guy that can make all the throws, a guy with a little bit of swag to get this team over the top. And it's a perfect time to get out after this year and get that guy, and then you'll be saying, man, Okri, that's what changed our team for decades. That's what's going down right now. So I want to hear what you got to say.
I mean, okay, so there's a whole lot to break down there because, well, first of all, I'll start out by saying at least you picked the right quarterback. If we're going to go quarterback, you picked the right run because this BS OSU Stroud over Young talk just needs to stop. That guy is a total bumsky. He will do nothing in the NFL market right now on the pod, okay, and ring the bell.
There you go. And don't tell me Bryce Young's too small. He plays in the SEC. He's only too small if he can't move and gets killed every play, which he doesn't because he's smart. He's cerebral. He's a leader. He can throw the football. Like, I don't care how much he weighs on the scales. So this guy's going to be a fine quarterback, a great leader, and just throw it deep every day to number 9, soon to maybe be number 1. I mean, who knows what number J-Mo will be wearing. It doesn't matter. Like, go ahead. I came at you strong. Everybody has been dying to hear the Goff debate again, me and you argue. So I just tuned it up right now before the commercial break. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, look, you cut me off. You didn't even let me finish my take. You want to just jump right in and start, you know, your man love for Bryce Young. That's fine. What? You know, I'm gonna let your love flow.
I got plenty
That's
more to
fine.
Say, but go ahead.
But listen. Oh my Lord. Listen. My problem with this whole quarterback talk right now is that the quarterback is not our biggest problem. Like, yes, do we eventually need to move on? I mean, Jared Goff isn't going to play for the next 25 years. Yes, we need to move on to another quarterback at some point. I just think that all this talk about number one pick, take the quarterback, it's all premature. Like, look, if we finish the season and we have the number one pick and they decide after a two seasons worth that Jared Goff is not the right guy, then fine. But my problem right now is that the easy take that everyone seems to just jump right in is, well, get rid of Jared Goff. Let's get Bryce Young. Look, dude, Jared Goff isn't playing defense. Jared Goff isn't not covering wide receivers. Jared Goff isn't not getting to the quarterback. Jared Goff isn't not tackling in the middle of the line. Jared Goff is only slinging the ball. He's top 10 quarterback in almost every single category. Yards, touchdowns, yards per average, QBR. Like, I get it. He's not an elite quarterback at this point where you're saying he's top three everything, but he's not our biggest problem. We have way, way, way bigger problems than Jared Goff right now. And if I can have him for $20 million next year and then buy him out and only pay him $5 million the year after that when we move on, fine. But right now, I can't stand it. It's such an easy, weak take for everyone to just be like, draft a quarterback. We need to draft a quarterback. Bro, have you seen our defense lately? They can't do squat.
Oh, see, this is my big issue with you, because you've said that to me, and every time I balk at you, because the quarterback is the most important position on the field. So don't tell me, oh, just get everything else right, get everything else up to snuff, and then this guy is going to lead us to the promised land. Because Choppy, he's not. I'm here to tell you. You keep saying this guy's not the problem. Oh, he could be this, he could be that. He's a 15 to 20 ranked QB at best when things are going well and excellently. He's not going to ever climb up and be a top 10 guy and everything's going to be roses and butterflies. This guy's not the ultimate leader and winner.
Did he take the Rams to the Super Bowl? Rams to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Did he win playoff games with the Rams?
Yes.
Oh, he did? Amazing. Then he's not the problem.
He can win.
He's proven it.
All right. I never deemed him the problem. What I'm telling you is he's not the answer. There's a difference. You can be not the problem and not the answer. And that's where I've come to. That's where lots of Lions fans have come to. Most people other than you. Because this guy can't throw the deep ball, yet we have a new, young, fast receiver, and we need somebody that can get the ball to him deep. This guy, I mean, he's great when everything is perfect around him. He's not on a team where we're going to have that anytime soon, so I can't play the waiting game. Oh, just get the defense right and keep all of our O-line and get him a few more weapons and then watch what he does. No, I need a guy that overcomes some of those, and he can't.
Let me ask you a question. Name a quarterback who's been drafted in the last 2 years that would make this team better than Jared Goff right now.
What do you mean? Any rookie
Justin Fields would make them better. Trey Lance would make them better. Zach Wilson would make them better. Desmond Ridder, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis. Tell me, name a quarterback drafted in the last 2 years that would make the Lions better than Jared Goff. Name one.
Happy. I will almost take all those guys because their ceiling is still unlimited. This is my problem. Oh. You know what all those guys make money-wise? Like $7 million. You want to know what your boy makes? 35 and climbing. You just said, I'll pay him 20 next year and then get out later. You can't. Now you have to get out now. Like the point is that he's only going to make more. I don't want to extend this guy. I don't want to keep rolling, kicking the can down the road. If this guy made $10 million and we were just like, I hope he plays good, we'll see what happens, no problem. He makes 30 to 35 and you can't justify that money. That's not marginal money. I don't think I have the Singletary bit, but I can't win with him. Cannot play with him. I can't do it. Like, I can't anymore. Like, I'll do it this year. He's fine at times. But you got to come to this realization, bro. It's got to be done. This whole plan that Brad Holmes has and Dan Campbell is to get a quarterback like Young, to get their guy, and to pair them with other premier talents. And then we'll have this team we're waiting for. You can't just go draft Will Anderson,
Young for number one overall. You're telling me we draft Bryce Young one overall next year. We win more games than we have the last 2 years with Bryce Young at quarterback. You're telling me that? How long do you give Bryce Young to win, to make it to the playoffs, which is the team's goal? How many years?
I think it happens in a year or two. Like, his first couple years, you see a drastic change in a game-changing quarterback that's a leader of men, that's a playmaker instead of a, oh, you know, this guy's good sometimes and awful other times. Like, I don't know, man. I've hit my peak, as you can tell, or my breaking point. But it's like, what I'm trying to tell you is, like, everyone's caught in the moment. Everyone's like, oh, like, I want to win these next few games. Everyone's caught in, like, the, well, Jared Goff did this years ago. He has a sample size now with the Lions, which is, he says everything right. He seems to be, like, trying to do everything right. But when the chips are down, he can't make enough plays to get us over the hump. I don't care what else you give him or how good the defense is. He's always going to clunk it up at times. Whereas a quarter and a half ago, man, he looked brilliant. Well, in the fourth, when we needed him, he couldn't do it, and we lost. That's what I can't have. So I'm just trying to tell you to come to my side and be like, you could still like the player. You could still like what he does. But the way the Lions get over the hump is to just sort of get through this year, hopefully get this premier pick, make the right selection on what I hope to be Bryce Young, pair him up, enhance the defense, have a great free agency. And that's our team moving forward. That's the team you get behind and drink that Kool-Aid. Come on, man. Come with me.
Drink it in.
I'm not coming in with you, man, because every Joe Burrow you give me, I'll throw a Baker Mayfield at you. I'll throw a Mitch Trubisky at you. I'll throw a Jameis Winston at you. I'll throw a Blake Bortles at you. Like, the first overall pick or the first quarterback taken in the draft is not always the best solution. Like sometimes it doesn't work. Like, everybody just assumes that Bryce Young is going to come in and be like the God, the man from the gods, transcended down as leads the franchise. Yeah, that might happen. But what are the possibilities that it might not happen?
When they took Jared Goff
For every Joe Burrow or whoever you want to name, I'll throw Kenny Pickett at you.
Names.
If that one's too recent for you,
I don't care.
I'll throw Mitch Trubisky at you, Carson Wentz, whatever you want it to be.
You can throw all these names. The only name I want to talk about is the guy that was taken number one by the Los Angeles Rams. And then 3-4 years later, they were like, he can't throw. And they got rid of him. They dumped him on us. We've paid him for 2 years, and he still can't throw. And we got to move on. We have to move on to get this thing right. And the fact that you just want to keep, you know, talking about these other players, I'm talking about this guy. I'm talking about this team. I'm talking about how do we get from where we are right now to where we want to go. And it's not fix everything else and then Jared Goff's going to be good. No, he's going to be marginal at best. He's going to be middle of the pack. Some days he's, you know, top 12. Other times he's bottom 25. I mean, Choppy, we got to get our sponsors in here. You want to finish by just supporting your boy, because as you could tell, I'm hot. I'm done. I can't. I just want this to all come together, and that's the way forward.
And that's fine. I mean, what you said there, like, I want it to come together too. I just don't agree with the path that you want to take. Like, not at this point. Like I said, if it's week 18 and we are still, you know, we're 1-7, whatever it is, fine, then let's talk about it. But again, he's playing in a top 10 quarterback level. Yes, I get it. He gets paid $30 million a year. I totally understand that. I understand that eventually you want to drop in that rookie quarterback who makes under $10 million a year. I completely understand that. But right now we just have so many other problems. Like, give me Jared Goff, even if as a, what you say, a serviceable quarterback, and so I can build the team around him. I've already built my O-line. I've already built my receiver room. My running back room is looking good. Like, we got to focus on the defense. I would rather use a high asset, a first-round pick, whatever, to work on the defense. I don't know, the part of the part of the team that keeps getting roasted, toasted, and extra crispy every freaking game.
Right, but we can go back and forth all day. You can get all these other parts right. You can draft linebackers and defensive ends and load up on your defense. In today's game, it doesn't matter if you don't have an elite game-changing QB. There's not teams make it to the Super Bowl that have some middle-of-the-pack guy. It's always an elite guy. So get that, and then last time I checked, there's nothing against getting that guy and then filling out the rest of your roster exactly how you're saying. Load up my defense. Get me another skill guy here or there. It can both be done. It's not, oh, if you take this quarterback high, then you're just rest of your team's going to be in shambles. No, you can do both, but you got to get that first one right, man. And right now, I just don't feel like it's right. I tried to go along with you. I know it's still 10 games left in this season. He's not done anything like drastically wrong on the surface or in the locker room, but on the field, it's just not... It's not going to be good enough now, and it's not going to be good enough moving forward. So, I don't know. I came at you strong there. I got myself all going. I think I need a commercial break. We need to come back, give a couple shouts, talk about this team a little bit more, and then just there's another game on the docket on Sunday, man. So, how about we just get into that? I've said my piece.
Yeah.
Everybody knows where you stand. We'll go from there.
We can agree to disagree. Let's get the sponsors in. And, you know, ultimately it's going to be what Brad Holmes decides. So let's get the sponsors in and we'll hit back up after the commercial break.
Everybody, we'll be right back.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Kool-Aid drinkers, we're back. Whew, I took a breath. I've calmed down. Let me do one more thing to get my spirit right, kind of calm me down a little bit. Let's go, Blue. Okay, I had to get that out of my system. Big Dubski, big win in the rivalry. You guys know what it is. Now, Choppy, I came at you, man. I got all fired up. I mean, again, I got strong opinions on the quarterback position as well as where I want this team to go in the future. But I just want the loyal, diehard, amazing Kool-Aid drinkers to know I'm always going to support this team regardless. I'm always going to drink that Detroit Kool-Aid.
Drink it in, man.
I'm always going to serve up some cornbread.
Cornbread!
And be excited about this team, regardless of the record, regardless of the direction. I'm not yelling, fire the coach. I'm not telling you all these players have to go. I just want us to take a direction, go there, and then eventually, even if it's not this year or next year, whenever, be like, man, we got it together. We got ourselves a hell of a football team. Let's roll. And I'm totally optimistic it will happen sooner rather than later. So I'm still fired up, Choppy. How about you?
Yeah, Oakley, absolutely. Listen, you know, we have passion for the team, right? And the bottom line is we both want to see the team win, right? We want to see them reach the playoffs. We want to see them win the division. We want to see them stomp the Green Bay Packers, hashtag preview. We want to see them win the Super Bowl. We have that passion and it comes out. You know, we don't always agree on the methods, but I think the end result is we can all agree we want to see that for our team. So I love it when we get fired up. Honestly, I think it just shows the people how much we really care. So in my opinion, keep it going, big guy.
No doubt, man. We always have fun on this show. There's no question about that. And I just love talking Lions ball. There's no question. And speaking of talking Lions ball, I got the Kool-Aid hotline up real quick, and I just want to do some rapid-fire shouts as well as tell you what the people are thinking. So, I mean, gosh, I'll just start here with KP from Real Deal Sports Talk, man. He was like, man, something in the mix is just missing. You know, he went on to say about how, like, there's just things off with this team. But what I love that he said is he said, man, I'm always going to champion my Lions no matter what. You know, but he's also not going to make excuses. He talked about, you know, just being able to get over the hump and get this thing right, which I loved. Got my guy, Cornbread Jerry. You guys know who he is.
Cornbread!
Jerry. You know what his name is, right?
Cornbread!
Jerry. You could call him Cornbread, or you can also refer to him as Jerry. He's from North Kakalaki. And Cornbread Jerry said that he's encouraged by the Young Bucks, Kirby, Hefe, Rodrigo. That was the live version. Here's the drop. Rodrigo! 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 Can't tell the difference, can you? And he just thinks that the team's going to get together. He's still encouraged. Would like to get some W's, but understands kind of where the team is at. And then Paul Jackson down there in Tampa, a longtime loyal listener, donator, supporter of the show. He said, man, this is just the worst defense he's ever seen. He says every time they score a touchdown, I mean, the Lions just onside kick because they're not going to stop anybody. It doesn't matter if it's 4th and 37. He says, you know, they're ultimately going to get it and lead to points, and it's hard to argue. I got Tommy Lyon from New York City, which not surprisingly, he started out his text with, he's very mad. He says they need to fire Dan Campbell and draft a quarterback number one, which I just kind of hit on last segment. He said Dan clearly doesn't know how to make adjustments and make in-game decisions. I know a lot of people are saying that as well. Imagine this, Choppy. Go Blue Lexi 117 said, go Blue! When I reached out to make sure she
was still...
That's
my girl, Lexi.
She was still repping Lions. So I'm going to stake that meaning, go Blue and go Honolulu Blue. We've got our guy, Bo DeFrisco. He has his own segment on the show. It's called Bo Knows, and that's spelled B-E-A-U. He said, man, Okri, it's tough out there, but I'm still positive about the future. You know, he went on to say Goff can't cut it. Ben Johnson, you know, needs to keep the pressure on in the second half. All good takes by Bo. He said, I'm still trying to stay positive and hope they can turn it around, but it's slowly coming along. Choppy, I got Keith all the way out there in Puerto Rico. He said, we've got to figure out how to get the defense right. I mean, exactly. He said he certainly sees that we can improve the defensive game plan, execution, need to shut down opposing teams much better moving forward. He said that now with the firing of Coach Pleasant, he wasn't surprised and even thinks that that may right themselves a bit or get some things right. What'd you think about Pleasant being let go? Is that going to help or is that going to be a detriment moving forward?
Yeah, to me, honestly, that was a little bit of a head scratcher. I mean, obviously our corners got roasty, toasty and extra crispy against Miami. But it is Tariq Hill and Jalen Waddle. So, you know, they're pretty good receivers. So, I think it was one of those either something happened that we didn't see, maybe they got into it with AG, maybe they didn't execute the game plan the way they wanted. But to me, I mean, I don't think it's going to make some like crazy, you're not going to see our corners come out and like just shut down, all those guys in Green Bay. Oh, what receivers do they have again? I'll wait. Oh yeah. So no, it's not going to make a huge difference though.
Exactly. I was waiting too because we don't know. We'll get to that here in a bit. Steve from Cali, man, I shouted him out and just said, hey, man, you know, what do you think about these Lions? Like trying to gauge where everybody's at. Steve's reply was just, no points in the second half? WTF. I mean, that pretty much sums it up here recently. Let's see. Who else we got here? The Tuna's in. The Tuna says, man, I love the Lions' chances to put the proverbial stake through the heart of those punks from Wisconsin. He said it would be a great way to get the teardown and rebuild going again. Hutch. Have you heard of him, Choppy? You heard of him at all?
I'm going to unleash Hutch. Maybe.
I mean, you got to get the music first. You got to creep on him. Then you unleash Hutch. Unleash Hutch. He says him and Pascal are going to eat. He says our D-line, you know, is going to get it going. he just thinks a certain diligence or a mindset is going to eventually pay off. So, Tuna, I hope you're right. Couple more quick ones, because if you guys text in, I like to get these in. I can't read them all. C. Mill from Wisco. I mean, again, Wisco, it's a little shaky here this week when we're playing the Packers, but he was just shocked by the Hockenson trade. That got a wow. I don't know if it got a Frank Ribble quad wow out of him, but hey, I'll play it on the show for Frank.
Wow! 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 Wow!
That was C. Mill from Wisco's take on the Hockenson trade. And the final one I'll say, because this guy continually wants more shout-outs because he's the leader in the clubhouse in the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast Fantasy League, that's Kyle. And he just said straight up, we need more talent. I mean, some of our players, he said, need to play through some of these nagging injuries, but we just need more talent. I can't agree with Kyle more, and I think we will get that talent moving forward. So, Chobby, there's some rapid-fire Kool-Aid hotline takes. I try to reach out when I can. I owe some people some replies back, but I thought, hell, I'll just read some of these basically on the show, shout you out, and say thanks for talking Lions, because I'm always interested where everyone's at with things and how it's going. So, Chobby, with that...
Gotta love those loyal listeners, Oakry. And, hey, I'm glad you kind of ended that with Kyle. Because I have to tell you a funny story. You know, my kids were getting prepped for, you know, the game in a couple of weeks. And I've got all my kids calling that team down there the team from Poop Town. And so that's great.
Ohio State is vanquished.
Have you ever curious, like, what, like, other former NFL players, what their take or what they might have said in an interview about that team? You ever curious what might have happened there?
Yeah. What do they say about that place?
Why do you mention it? Because I have Lendale White was actually quoted of his thoughts.
Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks.
Oh, it never gets old. So, yeah, I mean, exactly. That's going down in a couple weeks. And just like I'll probably vanquish Kyle in the fantasy football playoffs, you know what's going down. So let's do this real quick, because, like, we could sit here and bore the people to death and preview the Packer game, but we'll give some strong opinions to end the show. But I want to ask you this, man. We got into it heated in the beginning. We went long in the first half of the show. But my biggest thing is, like, I was questioning, like, do we just stand pat or do we make some drastic changes? I feel like the trading of Hawk, the letting go of Pleasant, the aggressive nature, which I feel like they're going after this first overall pick possibly without saying it. I feel like they're in drastic mode, but I feel like it might be all part of the plan as well. Because one beef I had with Sheila Hamp, you can scratch the... You know, like Microsoft Word's got that strikeout. I guess that's what she did to that whole forward part of her name. Sheila Hamp said it's a teardown, really. Well, we haven't really tore anything down. We kind of half knocked the walls down, but we didn't tear anything down because we got your boy Goff. We tried to pay Michael Brockers for some reason. I feel like the teardown is now starting to happen. So they can get real aggressive the next few years and all of a sudden go from, like, everyone quit on the team to... What? We got Bryce Young? What? J-Mo's a stud? What? Our defensive line's healthy and ready to roll? Huh? We got some other defensive playmakers? Mr. Okuda's a beast? Our offensive line is top five? Like, I think that's what's going on right now. So I think they've scrapped the whole just kind of stay the course, we'll see what happens, and they're more in hyper accelerating this thing without people realizing it yet. What about you?
So I kind of fall in the middle here, Oakry. Like, I think... If we were in, like, absolute teardown mode, I think you would have seen names like DeAndre Swizzle out there actually traded. You know, maybe one of our offensive linemen. You know, we're paying those guys some big, big bucks. And I think if you would have seen somebody move like a Taylor Decker, that would have been like, okay, you know what, we are legit just tearing this down to the studs and building this through the draft. But I think, you know, the trading of Hawk, that to me, that's just a smart business decision. This guy is not going to be an integral part of my future team, and the iron is hot. I better strike and trade him. So I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not like a stay the course. Don't make any changes. I was happy to see Hawk be moved. But I'm also not like, you know, I heard some talk out there about like trade Jeff Okuda, and I'm like, he's our first round draft pick. He was the number three pick. Like, I know he gets paid high, but he's still young and he's proven to be a stud. So I want that guy on my team. Like, I want my young talent. So, you know, if we really started like ditching, you know, making some big moves like Swift, Decker, you know, I think looking at our wide receivers, most of our wide receivers are new too. So, you know, I think if you saw those moves, then yeah, we'd be in straight up teardown, as Sheila the Hamp made reference to. But I mean, you look at we're still the youngest team in the league though. So, you know, and we got rid of one of our older guys. So we're still old or still young.
Let me get in here, wake the people up real quick, because you kind of just repeated yourself. You did deem her the Hamp, which I thought was funny. The other thing is, what kind of fool would say trade Okuda? Oh, wait, yeah, that was me. And the reason I said so was because he's playing great ball right now. Sometimes you have to sell high. No one liked taking him at three, so you could move that contract along. He hasn't shown that he can make he's got one interception in 3 years. He's finally healthy. He's playing really well. You just said strike when the air is hot, make a good business decision. That's why I was willing to move him, not for scraps, not for fourth round pick or some, you know, ridiculous, you know, vet. But yeah, if you were willing to give me a couple seconds, like I told Frank Ribble, or 2-3, I would have considered it. You know, I didn't have to do it. So I think it was a very wise man who said that should maybe be a possibility. You know, the other things you said that are driving me nuts is you're in the middle guy. The whole reason I yelled at you last segment, and I'm trying to bring my blood pressure down still, is the Lions, for the past, I don't know how long since I've been a diehard, they're always trying to be in the middle. They're always trying to be corporate. They're always trying to say, oh, this is the year. Like, just, we're going to give you something, and it's not it. So there's nothing wrong with them ripping it up, like being aggressive, and getting it right for once, rather than saying, well, we're going to rip some parts up, but other parts we want to keep. And like, some people are like, well, then Okri, you have to fire Dan Campbell. He's not the guy. I think he's taking bullets right now so that he can get to this other place that I'm hoping they get to in the next year or two, where he's taken all these bullets. He's taken all the beef. He's been dragged through the mud. But then when his team's better and he's learned from all this experience, then he's ready to roll. The team's ready to roll, and we're good to go. But you have to be more aggressive than, okay, I'm kind of in the middle. I don't want to really tear up our team, but I don't want the team we currently have. It can't be both. It can't be. So I'm starting to raise my voice again, but it's because I'm trying to tell you at the quarterback position, we can't be maybe. We can't be middle. We can't be I hope. We need to go one way or the other, and I want to go the way that says drastic, aggressive, swing for the fence. Instead, I almost referenced the sport we shall not speak of. Like, it can't be this, like, get the safe guy, wait a few more. Like, and here's my last thing I want to throw at you. People that are getting crazy about, like, if you say stand pat, or if you say, like, drastic changes, that means 4 more years of garbage. No. Drastic changes and aggressive moves could mean a great team in 1 to 2 seasons. You're telling me you can't wait that amount of time to really get it right? You need it right now? I'm willing to wait that to get it right. So these people that think if they change course or they're trying to change it up a little bit that they're back to square one, no. They might be closer to where they're trying to get by doing that instead of just, hey, let's hang tight. Let's keep this guy around. Let's kind of, you know, wait in the middle of the league. Being the worst team in football this year might be your springboard to greatness. So...
Well, so again, Okri, that kind of contradicts your point, right? Like, so if, yes, I agree, being worse this year is going to help your future, but like, look at our team, bro. Like, who's a, as you say, middle of the road guy that anybody has any interest in? Like, the only people that guys are actually going to want are our young, talented guys that we want to keep. So Choppy, you're saying get rid of them if we can? Like,
you know,
if somebody comes
in
and says, hey, I'll give you a third for Rodrigo. Like, what,
no.
Are you going to do that? Like,
no.
Look up and down the starting. Look up and down the starting roster. Who's there that you're just like, yeah, someone actually wants them, by the way, and we will trade them.
Choppy, You're missing my point. The point's not trade our guys or that we're going to get stuff for people. It's move on from Jared Goff. Kick Michael Brockers in the ass and get him not only off your starting team, off your team altogether, and save whatever you can. It's move players along that can't play, like Will Harris and some of these other guys that have consistently shown they can't do what they need to do to win games. That's what I'm talking about, being aggressive and then also not being scared of, yeah, we finished again with three Dubskis. You know what? We got the top pick. We got five picks in the top 65. We got $65 million in cap space. That's what I'm talking about. And then figuring out who are these core pieces. Okuda.
Go ahead. Your definition of be aggressive is cut guys that suck at football. That's to me, that's just smart business. That's not aggressive.
But they're not doing it.
Like, Brocker sucks at football. Cut him. Yeah, that makes sense. That's not aggressive. That's just a smart move.
But they haven't done
Charles
it in two
Harris,
seasons.
You know, or Will Harris hasn't been able to play football for 4 years and he's still on this team. Yeah, cut him loose. Like, I don't
exactly
understand. That's not aggressive. That's just smart.
And the reason I'm yelling is because they continue to not do that. So do it finally. To say, Goff, you're not good enough. I had you for 2 years. We're moving on. And don't think twice about it. That's where I'm trying to get to. That's the aggressiveness I'm talking about. Yes, you could have got Will Harris 2 years ago, but they didn't because they wanted to compete. They wanted to hang in this middle ground. We all see that's not working now. So be aggressive in moving forward and stop pitter-pattering around with these people. That's what I'm talking about.
So what I'm hearing is that You apologize to the people for getting all hyped up about Jared Goff, and now you've gone right back to get rid of Jared Goff. That's the aggressive piece that you're saying. Got it. Okay, cool. We all understand you want to get rid of Jared Goff. I disagree, but I don't see how, like, cutting other guys that can't play football is quote unquote aggressive.
It's a change of course from keeping them. How many times have we said, like, oh, this guy really can't play, and he's brought back again, and he's put out at a slot corner, and he can't cover? Or, hey, maybe this is the year the guy will be able to rush the quarterback. He has no sacks through 8 weeks. Like, that. I'm getting too upset again. What I'm saying is that I feel you could either roll with the punches again and add a piece here or there, or we could really start cleaning, tearing down, as Sheila the Hamp said, and really get this thing turned around quickly if you make the right aggressive moves and if you aren't scared. Stop, like, trying to win six games a year. Try to win 10. And right now they're not there like a lot of us hoped or that we thought. So I think drastic changes are needed, will be made, and I also think that the core, most of it can stay. You know, it can just build off the core, but don't. All right. Anyway,
we got to move on because you're like I said. I mean, I'm looking at our starting. I'm looking at our starting lineup, and I'm like, rookie, second year guy. Old as dirt sucks. Okay, cool. Get rid of him. Second year guy, Anzalone. Right. Okay, he's old. Get rid of him. Sure, Kurt. You know, young. You know, like, it's not like we got a whole bunch of freaking 28, 30-year-old dudes on the roster that have sucked at football for 4 years. Like, we are doing what we said we're doing. We're building through the draft. Like, yes, is Michael Brockers overpaid? Absolutely. Yes, is there, would I rather not see Anzalone out there again? Sure, but you still have to field a football team.
We can, and nobody said get rid of our young talent is worthless. What I'm saying is just clean those pieces out, be a little bit more aggressive the next 2 years, and see what you end up with, because I think it'll be good, rather than pitter-pattering around at the quarterback spot or the linebacker, defensive. Just pour in and go stronger so that we get stronger, rather than, like, you know, going cheap or going wait and see, like... We pretty much know who could play and who can't. So,
yeah. I mean, I guess my definition of aggressive would be like trading Amon-Ra or J-Mo before he gave him a chance. Like, that's aggressive.
No,
that's reckless. Like, I don't understand. Like, other guys on the team who need to Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes don't need to be here. I trust that they will make them not be here. Like, we didn't have, you know, Josh Pascal was hurt. Like, we've had other issues where our younger talent wasn't quite ready. Now they are, and they're interjecting them. Like, I don't think that's aggressive. I mean, I think that's just smart.
more aggressive. I think it was the plan timely, all along. Whatever you want to call it, but the time is now. There's no more like, hey, I mean, let's keep a Hal Vitae around next year. Maybe his back will be good. Get him out and save $10 million. You know, get these people out and start rolling with your studs and building around them and not looking back. That's what I want. So, I don't even want to do this Packers preview. All I want to say is, like, I feel like this finally feels like a winnable ball game because Smug is just ultra smug and at the worst of his playing career. Yet, I hate to say this and people are going to kill me for it. It just feels like a game where he's going to play out of his gourd and have, like, 400 yards and 4 touchdowns with a bunch of scrubs out there with him just because he's been so horrible. And I don't like, you know, I don't play that card of, oh, because it's the Lions, but it's just that up-down theory that I do subscribe to in the NFL. It feels like he's going to just be ridiculous on Sunday. I hope he gets killed and breaks his collarbone and is out for the season. I think it's important to possibly win this ball game, but I hate to say it with 10 games left, but I really am playing this whole draft pick card because I think it's that pivotal to the whole future of the franchise. DeAndre Swift saying he's going to be used more. Dan Campbell saying he's not ready. I don't know what is going on there. I mean, I'll just throw it out there. You know, because the fan base needs it, Dan Campbell needs it, I would like it. I say it doesn't matter what I like or what I want, but before all this went down today with the trades and stuff, I had this as 34-31, Lions winning it either in late fashion or tight fashion, whatever you want to call it, getting a dubski against the Packers, getting some people off their ass, getting people at least to breathe, take a breath like I need to after this pod, and finding a way to beat a piss-poor Packer team when they're on the mat in your own building. So what do you got to say about this ball game?
Well, I mean, first of all, I want to start off by saying what a missed opportunity for the Lions this year when the team that's second in your division is 3-5. So
yeah,
that sucks. I mean, this is a terrible year for the Packers. It's a terrible year for the Bears and will continue to be. I really still don't even think Minnesota's even that good. And, you know, instead of like taking that leap up, we're just down in the dumps too. So that stinks. That being said, I think we have a good chance against Green Bay this week. You know, I it's funny because I keep hearing Aaron Rodgers complain about all his like, oh, I don't have any receivers. I'm like looking up and down the lineup and I'm like, you've got Dobbs, you've got Watson, you've got Tonyan, you've got Lazard. Like, what are you looking for, dude? Like, you want Tariq Hill? Like, do you want Stephen Diggs? Like, there's only a few of those guys. Like, it just cracks me up. So keep whining, you arrogant, smug piece of crap, Aaron Rodgers. And listen, I don't care I don't even care if this costs us the number one pick. Just beat Green Bay every time you play them because I hate them. So my prediction for this game is 34-27 Lions by a touchdown. I know Vegas has the Green Bay Packers as a 3.5-point favorite, but I'm taking the Lions by a tutty. And just pound Aaron Rodgers into the ground. I want to see Hutch unleashed all over. Can you tell me what would be more glorious than Hutch standing over a broken Aaron Rodgers laying on the ground with his little dazed look meme with his eyes glazed over and Hutch just standing over top of him in that beautiful Honolulu blue 97 where he was just unleashed? Woo-wee!
Unleash Hutch. I'm ready to unleash Hutch.
Woo! Hashtag choppy liking.
And this just for you, Aaron Rodgers.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant twerp, scumbag.
Choppy, we've said it all. We've went long. I think it's like an hour-plus pod, but we gave the people lots to think about. I got my blood pressure up. I yelled way too much. I love the Lions. I love this podcast. It's so fun to chop it up, literally, pun intended, with you, buddy, and talk ball. So there's nothing else to say, man. What else you got to say before we get up out of here? Because the Lions are going to get it right one way or the other. I know it.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, Oakry. I feel like I need to go. I need to send somebody over to your house and make sure that you haven't fallen on the floor of a heart attack tonight. I am doing this call from the West Coast, but buddy, I know you got a little worked up. I know it was for the people, but you know, take a Xanax, have an edible, drink a beer, whatever you got to do, buddy. But don't go dying on me now.
Choppy, I don't need any of those things. I just need a big old glass of that Detroit Kool-Aid.
Drink it in, man.
Side of cornbread.
Cornbread!
Maybe two.
Cornbread!
For the people.
And the people consist of the millions.
And I'll be good, and I'll be back here next week talking Lions football right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
Drink it in.